Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 results investor conference call of Dabur India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Isha Lamba, Head Investor Relations and M&A. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Lamba.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the management of Dabur India Limited, I welcome you to the earnings conference call pertaining to the results for Q4 and year-ended FY25. Present here with me are Mr. Mohit Malhotra, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ankush Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ashok Jain, EVP Finance and Group Company Secretary, Mr. Rehan Hassan, Head of Sales, Mrs. Gagan Ahluwalia, VP Corporate Affairs, and Mr. N. Krishnan, General Manager Finance. We will start with an overview of the company's performance by Mr. Mohit Malhotra, and this will be followed by a Q&A session. I'll now hand over to Mr. Mohit Malhotra.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Dabur India Limited conference call pertaining to the results for the quarter and year-ended 31st of March 2025. Fiscal year 2024-25 ended with a consolidated revenue of INR 12,563 crores and PAT of 1,768 crores. Consolidated revenue growth was 3.6% in constant currency terms, which was impacted by one-time inventory correction in India business done in quarter two. Even though it was a challenging year on account of slowdown in urban consumption, high food inflation, and unfavorable season, our business fundamentals remained strong, and we gained market shares across 90% of our portfolio. Emerging channels comprising modern trade, e-commerce, quick commerce grew in double digits, although general trade in urban markets remained under pressure. During quarter four financial year 2025, consolidated revenue grew by 2.1% in constant currency terms and 0.6% in INR terms. International business exhibited a strong growth of 19.3% in constant currency, and India business declined by around 3.4%. Within HPC, skincare recorded a strong performance with 8% growth driven by Gulabari franchise. Home care grew in low single digits, with Odonil performing well and gaining 67 basis points market share during the quarter. Odomos was impacted on account of seasonality. However, the brand gained market share of 386 basis points in the MRC category. Oral care was impacted by a high base of 22% in the same quarter last year. However, our CAGR remained strong at 9% to 10%. Miswak and Dabur Herbal portfolio performed well in this quarter. We continued to outpace the category growth and gained market share of 15 basis points. In hair care portfolio, shampoo recorded a growth of around 4%, but hair oils were impacted. Hair oils grew ahead of the category and gained market share of 196 basis points. Coconut hair oil portfolio recorded a strong growth of 11%. Within the healthcare portfolio, health supplements recorded a muted performance. Sales in honey and Chyawanprash were impacted on account of delayed and contracted winters. Albeit, Chyawanprash and honey both gained market shares of 162 basis points and 75 basis points respectively. Glucose was a strong performer and recorded a growth of 10% with market share gains of 112 basis points. In the digestive portfolio, Hajmola franchise recorded a growth of 3.3% with market share gains of 233 basis points. The recently launched Hajmola Zeera was very well received by the consumers. Extensions and variants now contribute to more than 50% of Hajmola franchise. With an OTC and ethical winter-centric portfolio, Lal Tail, Honitus, etc. were impacted. However, Dabur Health Juices contributed to the growth momentum and grew by 25% year-on-year. The foods business continued its growth momentum with culinary business recording a strong double-digit growth of 14% led by the Homemade brand. Badshah grew by 6% in the quarter. Institutional sales of Badshah this quarter were impacted due to cut down in budgetary spends by CSD. However, business grew by 12% in financial year 25. Mevlana's portfolio was impacted due to slowdown in urban consumption as 70% of the portfolio is in urban India. While the overall portfolio declined, premium segment has done well with Real Active and Coconut Water recording a robust growth of 11%. We gained market shares of 261 basis points in the GNN category. Coming to international business, we registered a robust growth of 19% in constant currency terms. This was on back of strong double-digit growth in MENA, Egypt, UK, USA, Turkey and Bangladesh markets. International business has been performing well and we shall continue the momentum going forward as well. As we look ahead to the next phase of our growth journey, we have undertaken a comprehensive refresh of our vision strategy. Our ambition is to achieve a sustainable double-digit CAGR by financial year 28 in both top line and also bottom line. This renewed strategy builds on our core strengths while pivoting towards future-ready levers of value creation. Our strategy is anchored on 7 key pillars. I'll take them one by one. First, continued investment in our core portfolio. We have 7 nearly 500 crore brands which contribute to approximately 70% of our portfolio. Dabur Red, Real, Chyawanprash, Honey, Hajmola, Amla, Odonil and Vartika. We will continue to add scale to these brands through disproportionate investments, thereby increasing penetrations and driving market share gains. Second, premiumization and contemporization across categories. Few examples of these are serums, conditioners, masks in healthcare, benefit-led toothpaste in oral care, active range in beverages, gummies, powders, effervescents in healthcare. Third, bold bets across healthcare and wellness spaces. We will focus on ramping up Hajmola franchise, health juices, Shilajit, to name a few. Fourth, rationalization of underperforming products and SKUs in order to release capital for bigger bets. Few examples of these are Vedic tea, diapers, and Vita. Fifth, we will continue to drive GTM 2.0 in the organization for effective expansion across urban and rural India. We will double down on emerging channels like e-commerce, quick commerce, and modern trade. We will also focus on consolidation of stockists for better ROI, reducing cost to serve in urban GT channels, and enhanced use of digital tools to boost extraction. Sixth, aggressively pursue M&A opportunities for creating a future-fit portfolio, particularly focused on new age healthcare, wellness foods, premium personal care. Seventh, operating model refinement for optimizing costs, driving efficiency, agility, and digitization across value chain in the company. With these initiatives supported by improving macros, aided by income tax cuts in the budget, easing food inflation, and a positive monsoon forecast, we anticipate our business to regain momentum and deliver sustainable, profitable growth going forward. With this, I conclude my address and open the floor to any Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Avnish from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on McKinsey. So you have engaged with McKinsey from a longer time frame in terms of way forward. And I do understand these are initial days, but I think it will be quite helpful if you can share what are the initial suggestion, areas of improvement, focus areas. You did discuss the 7-point agenda. Now, a lot of these 7-point agenda, I think every FMCG company anyway has. Anything specific if you can highlight from a growth expectation, from a portfolio transformation perspective, and FY26, key focus area, what can be those, given the base is very favorable?
Yeah, so Abneesh, we've done an elaborate exercise with McKinsey, and they've actually gone through all the fine print and all the analysis, and the 7 points that I mentioned in my address is what broadly that they talked about. The ones which stand out is that we shall weed and feed our portfolio, and portfolio rationalization will happen, and that clear exit paths for some of the categories which have been non-performers have been identified to release capital, which is what I mentioned. So, you know, the categories that we will get out from is tea category, adult baby diaper category, the sanitizing category, which actually happened, and the beta category. So we will get out of these categories and focus on big, bold equities which we've identified, and core portfolio is where we will invest. That is one theme which actually comes out. The second big theme is premiumization and contemporization across the portfolio. So if you look at past 4 to 5 years, we generally focused on increasing market share and consolidating our business in each of the categories. But premiumization has less been focused, and it was a deliberate attempt because we wanted to bring back Dabur Amla back on growth path, gain market shares. Now that we've done all the gain market shares in Chyawanprash, in honey, in Amla, in home care, in skin care, now it's the 2.0 journey to embark on premiumization and contemporization. And we have identified segments that we will enter for premiumization. Like in hair care, we always focused on gaining market share in Dabur Amla. Going forward, you will see a concerted effort on premiumization of post-bath categories like serums, conditioners, masks, etc. And we will focus investment there. Shampoo, alpha ingredients in oral care, plugging white gaps of whitening, sensitivity, etc. On beverages, invest money on the active portfolio, which will have a halo effect on the entire beverage portfolio because each of these subcategories of nectars, pure juices, and drinks are anchored around the real brand. So we will communicate on zero sugar and no preservative range of beverages, which will have a halo effect on the entire range. Then healthcare like Chyawanprash, honey, glucose, we will be getting into modern formats which resonate with the new consumers like gummies, powders, effervescent, etc. You may be right to say it's quite what we attempted in the past, but I think this is the way forward going. Apart from this, M&A is what we will aggressively pursue too, and it will be a two-pronged M&A strategy from our point of view. One will be a revenue accretive to us, which will substantially add to the revenue of the company because growth in GT is a little subdued. That is one. And the second will be creating a future-fit portfolio which resonates with the new generation. That is what we are looking at. Then the fourth one is some bigger, bolder bets to be identified in healthcare and to invest behind that, like Shilajit, like Health Juices, and Hajmola. So that's what one will do. Then that's on the portfolio piece. On the GTM piece, we are wanting to get into increasing ROI the distributor. That's why we rationalized our inventory last year. Apart from that, we will get into stockist consolidation, especially in metros and mini metros, and double down on distribution expansion and extraction in class 3, class 4 in rural India. So that's what we'll do. And this will happen by way of digitization across the GTM activity to bring in more transparency and consolidation in the GTM. And to get cost takeout to invest in our brand, we will be embarking on cost optimization exercise like Samriddhi, which also we did, but there'll be a reduced focus behind it. Pretty much this.
So thanks. One quick follow-up there. In Q4 call, almost every FMCG company on FY26 demand outlook is sounding reasonably optimistic, given softer food inflation, tax rate cut, and interest rate cut, and good monsoons, etc. And companies which are giving guidance are talking about mid to high single digit kind of volume growth. And it may not start with Q1, but that's a full year number they are looking at. In your case, what is the confidence level, and what kind of number for India business you think is possible, given base is very favorable?
Yeah, so we are seeing green shoots in the business. I think food inflation is kind of moderating, and we are seeing a 2-2.5% of food inflation. And to your point, only tax cuts have happened. So urban consumers should have more money in their hands to be now used in the discretionary. And we will keep working on our GTM activity. So going forward, sequential improvement is what we are seeing, but a gradual sequential improvement. We are not saying that quarter one, and we are sitting on very high basis for quarter one. The highest base we had a 9% odd growth in quarter one last year. So I think quarter one and then quarter two and quarter three, and I think sequentially will keep getting better because urban rural is already growing much ahead of urban, and urban green shoots will also come in gradually and slowly. So I think sequential recovery is what we are also seeing. And we should also end the year with a high single digit, if not double digit or near double digit kind of growth for the full year. That's the guidance that we can give, looking at the macroeconomic situation at the moment.
Okay, so high single to double digit for the full year volumes.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
Value growth.
Sure, sure. Last question on your fruit juice business, Campa Cola. Overall, I think for every beverage has been a big disruption. Initial days, this year they are aggressive on IPL, putting big factory, 1,000 crore in Bihar, and Assam also reasonable size factory. Now, Tata Consumer has increased the trade commissions in their part of NourishCo business, and they are seeing good recovery post that. So if you could discuss on trade commission, what is the initiative you need to do or already have done? And FY26 on fruit juice business, how do you see that part of the business? Here also high single digit volume growth possible or the value growth?
So as far as commissions are concerned, we have not changed any channel margins. Other than out-of-home portfolio, where we have kind of increased our channel margins a little bit to compete with this Campa and the cola war, which is being played out. So we have, for our out-of-home portfolio, we have increased the margins actually.
What is the growth expectation FY26 in this part?
Growth expectations actually low to mid single digit as far as this foods or beverage portfolio is concerned.
Sure, thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my end. You know, we've seen a slowdown across most of the categories. Okay, can you help us understand, Mohit, you know, the rural and urban side of, you know, the current slowdown which we are seeing? And, you know, historically what we've observed, you know, earlier cycles, we had a diversified portfolio. So that helped us, you know, navigate some of the challenges whenever there was a slowdown. So currently, you know, what is hitting us hard? And, you know, secondly, you did mention we would want to, you know, increase premiumization and, try and do some M&A. So directionally, how are we thinking? Is it, you know, going to, you know, focus more on the healthcare segment because that is where, you know, our leadership would be? So would M&A and premiumization be in that specific segment, or, you know, is it younger generation which, you know, don't have such habits to some of the products in the healthcare segment? So how are we thinking? And, you know, lastly, is, you know, GT channel inventory issues over? We've rationalized some of, you know, the inventory in earlier quarters. So is the base now favorable? And now, you know, how are we looking at modern trade, quick commerce, e-commerce, GT? So is the distribution setup now fine, or, you know, some thoughts will be very helpful?
Right. So, Prakash, got a lot of questions. So first, I'll take your diversification question. I think last quarter was a tough quarter in terms of all the three divisions. Now, I'll take it one by one. One, beverage business was impacted by competitive intensity and season are not favoring us. Plus, what we've done is, usually what we do is, in last year, if you see that the learning coming from last year, we slowed before the season, which comes in anticipation of a good season. So the stock gets into the market with the stockists, and then the tertiary and the secondaries happen. This time, we've done less of loading. So around 50, 60 crores of loading has been less in the season. And that's why you see an impact of primary, and that's why you see tertiaries and market shares actually moving up, because secondaries haven't suffered. It's basically primary, which is what you see in the food and beverage business for us. Now, number two is the healthcare business. Healthcare business had a problem of the season, because I was telling you winter season was truncated and delayed. So therefore, Chyawanprash and honey, both these two pillars of ours, were actually impacted. Going forward, now honey is getting into a lower base. We had some crystallization problems also, which is also behind us now. And we are seeing good market share gain in honey going forward. So that is also sorted in my view, and we are embarking on an all-season campaign for Chyawanprash. Hopefully, that should address the issues of healthcare. Our glucose has done well, and with a 10-11% growth, that's one. Now, as far as the HPC business is concerned, we were navigating high bases in HPC. Now, that is why HPC got impacted. We had a growth of around 22-23% in oral care. And then other businesses also, like in Odomos, we had a base of around 20-25% growth in last year's same quarter. So base effects played out in our HPC portfolio, and that's why HPC has not. While I look at the primary is down by around 3% or so, but the secondary has done well, increased by around 5% there. So I think business fundamentals in terms of secondary in HPC is okay. There's a base effect came in, that is on the portfolio piece. If you look at the urban and rural, our rural and tertiary is growing by around 13-14%. That's what Nielsen tells us for the quarter four data. So the business fundamentals are fine. We are growing by 14% and urban is what is flat, and which is there with the category. It's in line with the category. But overall, we are growing ahead of the category. So what's happened is, we have kind of rationalize some sort of scheme, or I have not given the scheme because we did not load. Because we did not load, we did not give extra credit, we did not give extra schemes, because of which the little bit of inventory and the wholesale has, I think, gone down, and STRs have gone down. Because of those STRs going down, but our offtakes are very resilient and doing well. So I think it's a little bit of, we never wanted to increase the inventory. We corrected the inventory from 30 days to 21 days. Had we loaded once again, then there was no point of doing any kind of inventory correction. We would have gone back to around the same level of unhygienic inventory. So we did not do that. And therefore, for long-term, sustainable, good health of the company, we've actually not loaded and not given schemes. And that's why you see the HPC business is a little low. And therefore, wholesale, which feeds rural, for us, rural decline is more than urban decline in the first quarter, but in tertiary sales, Nielsen says rural is still firing. And there is no problem in terms of offtake. I hope I've been able to give you a little bit of color on why all the three divisions didn't do well. So that's the first point. Now, coming to the...
Sorry, you were saying something, Mohit. Yeah, please. I was trying to understand about the premiumization and M&A piece. You know, you hinted that as being a key.
So I'll come to those questions. Yes, I hear you. Yeah. So I'll come to those questions. So the second question you asked me is premiumization. So premiumization, as I was telling you, premiumization is a lever that Dabur hasn't really consciously attempted, because you're a little rural, skewed and urban. So now we'll be embarking on premiumization across all the three verticals of the company. So in food, we already have active range. So we'll be doubling down on active range with functional benefits like slimming, gut health, etc. And our healthcare portfolio of juices is already doing very well. So that is what we'll double down on as far as the beverage business is concerned. Homemade, etc., that is doing well. Our premium portfolio is doing well there. Our cold fresh juices and ghee and fats and oils is already growing by around 30%. So that also we will kind of double down on F&B. Now in personal care, Amla should move into premium categories. And home care, we already into premium portfolio, and skin care also we do premiumization. In healthcare, we get into modern formats of existing brands. So if it is a honey, we'll get into a honey powder. So what scale we will get out of this premiumization, I think if I was to hazard a guess, it will be more from personal care that we will gain on premiumization. And healthcare initiatives we have done, but we'll keep attempting those premium healthcare initiatives. Coming to M&A should come and bolster our initiatives of premiumization by, if there is a brand acquisition, a premium brand in healthcare wellness space, we will acquire that. And this wellness extends from healthcare to foods also. So wellness foods, wellness healthcare is what we should attempt to get a brand in an inorganic way. And in personal care, it should be more organic initiatives. So this is where we are, yes. And as far as third question of yours is GT. In GT, we are looking at consolidation of stockists in urban India. So reducing cost to serve, increasing span of control, increasing digitization in urban India, and rural expand on villages, expand on direct reach, and focusing on the 10 rupee, 20 rupee bundle pack, which can ride on a rural go-to-market infrastructure. So this is what we are embarking on the GT piece.
Understood. Understood. Clear on this. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, you mentioned various initiatives to premiumize, make your products more relevant and future fit. What is the time frame you are looking at, and would this require investment in the medium term, and would this result in any kind of margin dips?
Yeah, so Kunal, we are setting up a cadence of looking and monitoring of the strategy that McKinsey has recommended. So the journey should begin as we speak from this quarter onwards. And exact timelines, as we are still working on it, as the exercise is just finished. So I can't give you right now, but we'll start from current year onwards itself. Even the GTM rekindlement should start from the current year itself is what we'll be looking at. So immediately, so we will start working on the vision exercise that we created for Vision 10.
I think especially on the GTM.
No, there will not be. We want to, we aspire to grow double digit or near single digit value growth, and also increase our operating margins. So investments will be diverted towards the new initiatives which will come under our core brand itself. So that is how we are seeing those initiatives. And it's more modernization of formats and not really creating mega new brands which require separate investments.
And also just to add on this premiumization margin, you know, there will be specific guardrails where every new product launch will have to have an accretive margin to the core product of it, and therefore it has to have overall, it will lift the overall gross margin profile.
Understood. Thank you. Second is, if you can help me understand the longer term trends in two of your key categories. In healthcare, sales are at the same level as they were in FY21. In beverages, you had like a very strong FY21 to FY23 in which sales almost doubled, and after that, like, it went down. So if you can help me understand whether the worst is behind, what exactly went wrong in these two categories in the last couple of years?
Yeah, so I think in healthcare, if you look at the CAGRs of healthcare are in the range of around 7%, and 7 to 8%, that's what we want to sustain the CAGRs. During the past, prior to 4 years, I think it was COVID which actually surged the entire healthcare. And after that, we've seen the penetration levels of key brand categories like Chyawanprash and honey have come down. So we are taking initiatives to reduce the sizes and therefore resonating the brand, reducing the price level so that the penetration should increase. embargo, new campaigns of all seasons. So all those initiatives are being taken. Honey, new variants are coming in for premiumization and powders, etc. We will launch at bottom of the pyramid sort of market. On back of this, we want to get back on the growth path. In beverage business, our CAGR is again 10% plus levels. And there, we've already got the portfolio. So the infrastructure is being set. And to Rehan's point, we want to go back on the path to make our coolers pack of 10 rupees, 20 rupees, pet bottles, now coconut water available in rural India and drive the active range for urban India and go back to the path of growth and recovery on beverages. So we've also corrected our RPI as compared to the colas. RPI related price index, which went up from 2.2 to 2.7. We are bringing it down to 99 rupees point. We just introduced a new range and that's doing reasonably well in the marketplace.
Understood. Thank you. And lastly, you mentioned the target to grow at high single digit volumes. That will require some categories growing even faster, maybe even double digits. Which are the categories in which you are confident that the growth could be even higher compared to high single digits?
See, we talked about high single-digit value growth, looking at the situation of the macro and the category performances there. Within that, I think we are more confident about HPC as we speak, home care, skin care, oral care, and we are more confident of these categories, and we are on a path of doing corrections in beverages and healthcare.
Understood. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I had a few questions on the standalone business, India business. There is a sharp kind of 250 basis points GM contraction. Do we attribute this largely to mix? Because it doesn't seem like there has been massive inflation in your portfolio. And this is dropped off from Q3 to Q4. So, there is obviously some seasonality in the quarters, but I just wanted to understand, what's been the reason? Is it purely mix and how do we think about this going forward? Is this a gradual build-up or, how do we see it?
Yes, I think you see almost 240 bits of contraction in our standalone in quarter four. And, our inflation is the highest in this quarter in this year. So almost 80% of the inflation of the year has come in this quarter itself, which has impacted this almost 250 bits itself. And most of the price increases we took, they were by and large negated, by certain trade promotion intensities, and hence the gross margin got impacted.
Okay.
To reiterate this point, I think it's all inflation linked and not mixed. I think it's inflation which is a key issue. So we had an inflation of around 4.5%, and price increase was to an extent of 3.5%. And because of competitive intensity, we could not take the full inflation into the price increase. And that is why this GM contraction of 247 basis points that you see.
So going into quarter one, we should see a 4 to 5% type of pricing. Is that what you're kind of hinting at?
Yes. So there's also already we've increased the prices by around 3.5-4%, and that flow through will happen in quarter one also.
And how much of that was in quarter four? Like, what would have been your weighted average pricing in quarter four? 2%, 1.5%. What would have been that number?
See, we have taken a price increase of around 4.5-5% in healthcare. In personal care, which is a very competitive category, our price increase was in the range of around 1.5%. And in beverages, our price increase again 1.6% broadly. So overall, it's around 3.5% sort of a price increase that we've taken in the quarter four, which will flow through to the quarter one.
Got it. The second thing was on the premiumization journey. In hair oils, it's a bit of a dichotomy because on the others, there is also the competitive intensity at the bottom end of the pyramid. So how do we kind of marry both these things? That, you know, will you and competition continue to have that aggression at the bottom of the pyramid and still try and populate the top end in hair care? So, you know, as part of your premiumization agenda, is you know, how do I think about that segment?
So the premiumization we've not embarked upon. Like in hair care especially, I think we were very busy consolidating our portfolio and trying to gain back market share that we lost to competition in Dabur Amla, especially because you had a competitor who was half at your price point. So now that we've got our strategy in place and we've gained all-time high market share of 19.1 from 14% around 3 years back, now we've got 19.1% market share. We will start on the journey of premiumization, and premiumization is more urban linked for us. And e-commerce, quick commerce, all these channels actually help us to get onto the premiumization journey, which is fairly easy to do. As far as rural is concerned, 10 rupee, 20 rupee price points and 50 rupee or 100 rupee price points also in healthcare just ride our rural infrastructure. There's not much of brand building that you don't need to do on at the bottom of the pyramid. It is at the top in the pyramid that you need to do that. So which we've not done it. So like I was telling you, serums, masks, conditioners, etc. That should come in and help our premiumization journey. I don't see both of them conflicting with each other at all. They are both watertight, almost compartments, and urban more so with e-commerce and modern trade being very separately. As far as organization structure is also concerned, we have a separate organization for e-com, MT, and a separate organization structure for GT at the lower end. So it is not at conflict with each other. So one can embark on both the paths. That one is consolidate at the bottom end of the pyramid, keep continuing gaining share, and embark on premiumization at the top end also.
Understood. And last thing, just a clarification on one of the earlier questions. You said growth will gradually improve, and do you expect exit rates to be high single digit revenue growth, or you said for the full year it will be high single digit, early double digit type of high single digit type of revenue growth? I didn't quite understand.
No, I'm talking about average of the full year, but it's yes, at the moment all depends upon how the categories are behaving and how the macros are performing. If I go by the macros now, with MSP increases and with the Mandrega outlay going up by 40% in rural India doing around 450 basis points ahead of urban India, and food inflation coming down and more money in the hands of the consumer, not taking into account operations in Sindoor, I think everything looks like a green shoot today. But how the political and the macroeconomic situation evolves is the one has to see. But I was talking about average of the full year when I was talking about high single.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naveen Trivedi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. So my question is on the oral care performance. You did mention about the base effect impact on this quarter performance. But if I look at this, even sequentially also, I would assume that this sequentially it is down close to 17-18% versus quarter three. Is the understanding right? And typically, this is not a category where the seasonality play a big role. So any color on that part or any specific markets where we've seen this kind of impact?
So I think oral care is in a very good state as far as we are concerned. All the 4 or 5 vectors of oral care brands are doing well. Dabur Red continues to do well for us, and our market shares, our tertiaries, our secondaries, all are moving up as far as oral care is concerned. We got IDA certification also now, so the endorsement by doctors has also started. Our no fluoride campaign has also kind of resonated very well with the consumers. We won a court case also in oral care. We are continuing to advertising. So I think all guns blazing as far as oral care is concerned, and we are betting our bets on oral care going forward also. So Dabur Red, this year, this quarter was an anomaly because of the high base effect of 22% is what I said. So that's the only reason that I see. So Dabur Red is doing well. Our Miswak has grown by around 10-11%. Our Dabur Herbal Toothpaste continues to do well. South India, we are planning to take it in modern trade. The herbal category has got a tailwind, which is at around 31%, which last year was 30%. That is growing at double the rate of the non-herbal category. So I think everything is very favorable as far as oral care is concerned for us.
So is the understanding right where we have seen sequentially down 70% this segment revenue?
No, no, we are not down sequentially 70-80%.
Not 70-80%, I think it's 10-12% now. What is it?
Hello.
No, no. I think it's you would see a year on year trend. That's how this has to be seen, because there is some loading impact of the other categories, and therefore this category is a little subdued in quarter four. So I think it's a year on year that you should be looking at rather than sequential. Sequential, our market share continue to move up. We've gained around 15-16 basis points market share in the current quarter also. So
yes, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sindhu Jha from LKR Advisors. Sindhu Jha. Sindhu Jha, if you can hear us, kindly go ahead with the question, please. Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Akash from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Sure. Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, during your opening remarks, during your response to one of the participants' questions, you said while streamlining the portfolio, we will exit some of the segments like, let's say, diaper or tea. I could not hear that completely. So, will you please repeat what are the product categories which going forward we will not be focusing on?
You see, we mentioned a few examples of the categories. One was tea, other is baby diapers, and other is Vita, MFT category. Now, these have been margin dilutive for us, and that's why we are planning to exit with a limited right to win, and also breakfast cereals. So these are the 3-4 categories that we are planning to get out of.
Sir, how much would these products contribute revenue? It would be sort of low single digit?
Less than 1% of the overall revenue.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Senthil from iCord PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is on the one of the strategy drivers that you mentioned is.
Can I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Is it audible now?
Little better. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, one of your drivers for the strategy point, you mentioned about contemporaneizing the category. So particularly with respect to the healthcare vertical, if you can throw some insight into how we are pitching the products from the healthcare side to the millennials or Gen Zs. So that's my first question.
Yeah, so in healthcare, one of the key brands for healthcare for us are Chyawanprash. Chyawanprash we have premiumized in the past, and we continue the journey with Ratanprash, with Ketanprash, with Khajurprash, etc. that we have premiumized, and we'll be launching modern formats like gummies, powders, etc., which is more targeted towards the new generation. In honey, we've extended ourselves into organic honey as single ingredient honeys, single floral honeys. So that is how we contemporize. We extended ourselves into which is more amenable to breakfast consumption, so which is also a contemporary format. And also we'll be targeting new target audiences like geriatric, gym goers, etc. with our healthcare portfolio.
Okay, sir. And in the last analyst meet, investor day, you mentioned there is an incremental focus on the therapeutic side. So if you can share, what has been the development on that side?
So therapeutics business continues to be as it is. We've done some organizational changes. So Mr. Philip Aden is superannuated and this new gentleman has actually joined instead of Philip. So the focus on advocacy vertical to promote Ayurveda to the modern doctors will continue, and the turnover will be taken from 100 crores to 200 crores, and that journey will happen, and we are addressing around 100,000 medical practitioners with this vertical. So that journey will go on. We will try to do better extraction with better efficiency in that vertical. So that the initiative will be continued going forward.
Okay. This is the last question. Coming on the inorganic side. So you mentioned about we'll be focusing on the wellness side, foods and healthcare. So adding the heritage from the Ayurvedic side, healthcare, going organic will be much better, or so if you can share some strategy bits on here.
Yeah, so, you know, there we have organic brands. So I think all these organic brands like Chyawanprash, Honey, Hajmola, Shilajit, etc., there the modernization journey will be all organic because these are our core brands and we will continue to extend them into modern formats organically. If there is a new brand or a new category to be addressed, that is where M&A comes in and supplements our efforts of organic business with inorganic business. That's what one will do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from line of Manoj Trivedi from SP Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding Dabur's compliance, current compliance rate on EPA regulation in terms of use of recycled material in their flexible and hard packaging of plastic product. So my query is that, I mean, on the back of that, you know, we know that industry has made a presentation to the ministry and the government and approach them to delay or, you know, give some more time to the industry. But the fact of the matter is that ministry or the government has not made any official statement on this post the presentation. So at this point of time, what is the view of the industry as well as Dabur, and where Dabur stand in terms of compliance, in terms of flexible and hard plastic packaging?
See, as far as Dabur is concerned, we are recycling more than 100%. We are actually a plastic positive company. In the sense, we are recycling more of plastic than what we are consuming ourselves. So we don't have any credits for plastic in India, like a carbon credit in international market. So otherwise, we are ensuring our EPS compliance more than what is actually adequate.
I think you got me wrong. My question is that use of recycled material in the plastic packaging. For flexible, it is 10%, and for hard, it is, I think, 30% from 1st April 2025. I actually asked the question regarding that compliance.
I got you. So as far as recycled plastic is concerned, our use of recycled plastic is fairly limited, like all other players in the industry, and therefore we've represented to the government also on the same, because the recycled plastic today is more dearer in the market as compared to the regular plastic. And moreover, we are a healthcare company. In a healthcare company where 50-60% of the portfolio is coming from wellness foods and they're coming from healthcare. We are very reluctant to use recycled plastic in food products and also in our Ayurvedic products. Like in pharmaceutical industry, you don't use recycled plastic. So we are reluctant. As far as personal care is concerned, yes, which is 50% of the portfolio, we can use recycled plastic, but that is today dearer than the existing packaging material and will have a implication on the gross margins and the operating profit of the company. That's why the representation has happened to the government, because the demand of recycled plastic is higher than the supply. As the industry grows of recycled plastic, I think the cost of producing recycled will be cheaper and then we'll be able to do it. So our stand to the government is to give us more time till the time the recycled material becomes a little more cheaper and capacities go up in the industry. So, yeah. I hope I could answer your question.
So what I understood, if you can confirm, is that, you know, currently, you know, government is not planning to be compliant with that because government has not withdrawn the regulation. So I believe that that regulation is pretty much in force.
We are already utilizing recycled plastic in our packaging material, but it is still limited because the capacity is not available. So which is what the entire industry has also represented to the government, saying that because the capacity is limited, nobody is able to meet the 30% requirement which has come in. So which is why even the rule is in abeyance, right? So it's not been announced yet.
So if a government was to mandate the use of, if the government was to mandate the use of the recycled, then we will have no option but to use it. But today the capacity is limited and it's difficult for us to do it. And it's more cost expensive, in terms of cost, pretty expensive.
So are you planning to pass it on to the end consumer at the end of the day?
If the government mandates this, we have no other option but to pass it to the consumer and we will be using it. Yeah.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Anurag Dayal from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the question. So, I just wanted to get a little more insight on the beverages segment.
Anurag, your audio is not clear.
Just a second. Sorry. Hello? Hello. Is it better now?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, the question is on beverages. Now we are sitting on a favorable base. We have done a lot of actions in terms of 10 rupees, 20 rupees price point pack, expanding in rural. And since 70% of, as I understand, the saliency of beverages in urban, and then we expect, you know, urban market to recover eventually this year. But still, we are a little conservative on low to mid single digits growth expectation. So what could happen basically that we can get back to double digit growth here? What all actions are required from our side, or, you know, if the competitive intensity is going to be low, what's your view on that?
Yeah, see, as I was telling you, that we have a CAGR of almost double digits as far as beverage is concerned, and it's going through a cyclical storm, as the perfect storm happening with competitive intensity going up. So we are making all our efforts in terms of GTM also. The portfolio we've already done, I think the efforts are on as far as the go-to-market is concerned and the price points are concerned. So that's what we are trying to now fix for us. So what we are doing is that we have a two-way down with exclusive distribution of beverages. That is continuing to do well. For rural and semi-urban markets also, we are opening up all the beverages to our existing rural distributors also, because we've got affordable price points there. That's what. And also we fixed the price of around 99 rupees and 100 rupees. That said, it's a wait and watch situation to see this a gradual ramp up, and these distribution initiatives are taking time in the market. So that's why a little defensive sort of growth aspiration on it. But we are not leaving any stone unturned. Like coconut water, which is coming under the active range, that is firing. Our Hajmola Zira is actually doing pretty well. Our coolers is still not performing, and active range is also performing very well. Our coolers and the Nectar range is something that we have to still correct and execute it well in the marketplace. So that's why, so it's a slow gradual recovery which is happening in beverages.
Okay, yes, sir. I think another question is on Odomos. So you mentioned there was some seasonality impact, as I understand. But especially in the HI portfolio, the market leader said that, you know, the season was very favorable for them. So could you explain us what, where is the seasonality which came for us? I mean, due to product specific issue, or how we defined seasonality, especially for Odomos?
No, I think it's a seasonality, plus it's coupled with a high base. We had a very high base on Odomos last year also. So we are navigating a high base. If you look at the CAGR also, it will be in the range of around 8 to 10% for us. So that's fine. And also seasonality sometimes, you know, for us, at least we did not see the mosquito season pan out as much as what it was last year. So relative, it has been low, but I think gradually, slowly picking, catching up.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's from my side.
We have got a market share increase of around more than 386 basis points on Odomos. So from a market standpoint, we are pretty much okay.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference to Ms. Isha Lamba for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for joining the call. The webcast and transcript will be available on our website. Thank you and have a great evening ahead.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dabur India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.